Mishnah, we do two times a day. And that's the mitzvah Kriya Shema. So it's one of the most constant mitzvahs that we do. The mitzvah is deraisa, one of the most constant mitzvahs I say that we do. So it's certainly, you know, tefillin we do put on, but there are many days of the year that we don't put on tefillin. But Kriya Shema is every day of the year, no exceptions. You should look a little bit at the structure of Kriya Shema, and then it's a little bit internally, some of its parts. Right, broadly, we have three parshiyos in Kriya Shema. Shema, Vayim, Shemon, Vayimer. And there's an immense machlokes. Which ones are deraisa? There's even a sheet that holds the rabbanon too in the Gemara. And the Shaar Gesari is inclined in that direction. That this is Kriya Shema with the rabbanon, not with the deraisa. But I don't think the world assumes what the Shaar Gesari assumes. The world assumes it's a mitzvah deraisa. Now, how much, first of all, how much is the mitzvah deraisa? So there we find all different sheetas. There's a shita that just the first posik is midiraisa. Yaitzir din deraisa with the first posik. There's a shita that the first parsha is midiraisa. There's a shita that the first two parshas are midiraisa. And then there's even an unusual shita that says all three parshas are minatara. But that's not the most common of shitas either. And it's interesting. We have at the end of the Kedusha on Shabbos, so we have the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So it's the general historical background of that is agreed to, but exactly what it is, there are different nuances in the Rishonim. The general historical background, it was some period in the ancient Jewish history, the Roman era or something like that, when they made a decree that they did not allow them to recite the Kriya Shema in public. So they had to leave it out of the davening. But once they got to the Kriya Satira, that was more than enough for the government agents that were there, and they went on. So when they got to Musaf, maybe always, maybe sometimes if they weren't there, it's, you know, lost in the fog of history. But they inserted the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad at the end. And there we find different versions of the Rishonim. There are Rishonim that say that that was for the fulfillment of Mitzvah Kriya Shema. And there are Rishonim that say it was Zeicher to the Mitzvah Kriya Shema. And that really splits along these lines. The Rishonim that say that it was a fulfillment of Kriya Shema, because they hold all you need is one pasuk. Shema Yisrael Yitzchak in the Raisa. So, I guess if things calm down at the end of davening, and the person that the spy for the government left, so they would recite Shema Yisrael and tuck it in and into the kedusha at the end. And that was a fulfillment of the mitzvah. But if you have to recite at least the first parsha, so then it's only a zecher. It's a zecher with the mitzvah Kriya Shema. So now we find different versions in the Rishonim exactly what the role of Shema Yisrael was. Now broadly, the Gemara says that there are three parshias, and there are three notions really. The first parsha is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and the second parasha is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. First and primary is the realization of what this world is about and who we are in this world. And that's the first parasha of Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. as we said, it's Malchius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melech HaElam. If there is a Melech, then we are safe to assume that he wants something from us. See, that follows his own mitzvah, Yom Shemaya Tishmu, Al Mitzvah Yisrael. Now, it's part of the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. We talk about a number of different themes. We talk about Avas Hashem, V'Avto Yis Hashem Elokecho. We talk about Talmud Torah. V'Shinantam Lovanecho, V'Dibarato Bam, V'Shiftecho B'Veisecho. It's the din of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a chelek of the Ol Malchus Shemayim, of the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. That the Torah represents is representative of what of the Rabbeinu Shalom in this world. So the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim is not only in a general sense, but it touches Mitzvah's Talmud Torah too. And that's the reason, in fact, that we find that there's a very distinct difference between the first parasha and the second parasha. In they both talk about there's in the first parasha is first of all is in Loshen Yochid. It's not the Loshen Rabbah. It doesn't say V'haftem es Hashem Elokechem V'haftom. The second parasha is B'Loshen Rabbah V'yom Shemaya Tishmu Mitzvah Usai. The first parasha talks about that we are dedicated to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam b'chol aleif, singularly focused upon him, b'chol nafshecha, no matter what level of sacrifice we have to make for that. And b'chaim, finally, b'chol modecha means all the financial resources that we have. In the second parasha, we talk about b'chol levavchem and b'chol nafshechem. It doesn't say b'chol ma'itchem. Chazal tell us that the first parasha is really b'zman she'isim retzeinu shel mokom. The second parasha is b'zman she'ein isim retzeinu shel mokom. Now we have to take that very, very carefully. You can't exactly say it says v'yom shemaya tishmu amutzvoisai. So you can't say that that means how could you call such a person in Eisen Ritzayna Shalmokam? He's not doing that which the Rebbeinu Shalom wants. So obviously what the Gemara means to say is that there's a higher level of dedication of Eisen Ritzayna, and that Eisen Ritzayna of the first parsha, the second parsha is people that are in Eisen Ritzayna Shalmokam as the ones in the first parsha did it. But they're certainly Eisen Ritzayna Shalmokam. Volume Shemaya Tishmo Amitzvaysai. Asher Arochi Mitzavak La'avo La'avo. So he clearly says before that you mean Mekayim the Mitzvahs. And so the Mephoroshim tell us that the difference between them is that the first parsha is a person that's even willing to sacrifice b'chol ma'idecha. The second parasha is more common, people that are committed to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but it doesn't mean they're ready to give everything financially away, a total sacrifice in a financial sense. The first parasha then is more derech of yechidim. Yechidim that don't anat machshav olam hazeh. It's not their perspective, not what they spend their life doing. What happens with it, happens with it. The second parasha is more common of most of the population of Klal Yisrael.
Does that include the Ahava in the first parasha?
What?
The Ahava in the first parasha is not for everybody, or which parts of the first parasha?
No, it is for everyone, but everyone at a different level. But, you know, we should all have some dedication of a Chol Ma'idecha. But there's a different level of a Chol Ma'idecha. And that's why The second parasha talks about Benosati Matar Artsachem, Bosafto de Gonecha, Siroishcha Vyitzarecha. Means we will endeavor to involve ourselves in the practicalities of economic life. The first parasha makes no such mention, as the first parasha, the Zeicha, and they have a special bracha from the Rabbeinu Shalom. They give everything away. They hold nothing back from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Ramayla, the Rabbeinu Shalom, gives them a special bracha, that they should be Zeicha, to be focused on the Torah that they're dedicated to. So we have two parashiyas, one which is more for Yechidim, one which is more general. Right? Even in the general parasha, you have to teach the Torah. But it's not at the same intensity as the person in parasha number one. Now, from that we have, and finally the last parasha really has two things. It has parashas tzitzis, and tzitzis, as we know, it's very interesting. It's not obligatory in the sense that tefillin are obligatory. And yet Chazal made a very big thing about tzitzis. A very big thing about it. That one should wear tzitzis and the school of wearing tzitzis. Now, we in reality then, we in the night on Kriya Shema, we should leave out the third parasha. Except because of the last pasuk, and the Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, there's another mitzvah, and that mitzvah is zechiras yetzias Mitzrayim, is to touch for a moment the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's role in the parshiyos that we're reading these weeks of yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's also a mitzvah bein b'yoyim bein b'layla. So but the Gemara concludes in brachos that since we have to recite part of the parsha because of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once we started it already, we do the whole parsha already. We don't just, you know, snip the last pasuk and forget the earlier parts. So first has to come, though, Chazal tells us, first comes the parsha of Shema, and then comes the parsha of Vayom Shemayim. For what reason? Because first we need Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. If there's no Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, then there are no mitzvahs. Which I have to talk about mitzvahs. That's why really in the Rambam and the Yad, what is the first thing he talks about? Yisod HaTorah. What? And even in Yisod HaTorah, he talks about Metzias Hashem. Because without that, then we have nothing to talk about. So that's a notion that we have to focus on. Now, it's not merely the recitation of the psukim that doesn't suffice. But we need an awareness that we are accepting upon ourselves the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as the Melech. And that really comes at two different levels within the recitation of Shema. We have a very unusual halacha in Siman Vov, which is particularly relevant to Shema, and that is the very names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu imply different aspects of the divine. Right, so we have Yudkei Vovkei, Ado, that implies, and it's not written as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Because we pronounce it that way, that means he's Adon, he's the master. But there also, the fact that it's written with, as it is, with the Yud, etc., is to talk about the fact of Ho Yehoi V'Yiyah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, is, and always will be in this world. So that's one aspect, and that's implied, in fact, in the Shem Yudkei Vavkei. Elokeinu in means that he is a force in the world. He's the ultimate force of the world. Now, normally, it's not obligatory to note those aspects of the meaning of Shem Hashem. I can make a bracha, bracha to Hashem, and I realize Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam, and I'm fine. I'm Yotze. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, it's necessary to focus on what's implied, specifically by each name. I mean, there were some, you know, there were Gdolim, Rabbi Yosef Zatzal, was careful every time he said the Shem Hashem to have that kavanah. He said one of his grandchildren told me, if you heard him, watched him say a bracha, when he said Hashem, there was always a slight pause before he went on. But that's not obligatory. That's already lifnei mishurat hadin. So we talk about Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. So Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim touches two things. One is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is the ultimate force of everything that happens in this world. There's nothing that happens without the Rabbeinu Shalom. Nothing can happen without the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's merely the word Elokeinu. And the other aspect is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is timeless. He's the one, in fact, that was here before the world, during the world, and after the world. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the one constant in the Bria. So in Shema Yisrael, we have to note that. So we have to have, first of all, the kavanos. By each time we say Yudke Vovke, what it means. By Elokeinu, what it means. And Echad, the Mefarshim tell us, is also Meramis. The Tereversion is one. Ches is the earth and the seven heavens. And Dalet implies all the four Ruchas. In other words, there's a unity in the world. The entire world is unified. There's one system, one melech, and he's in control of everything. So that's at one level. We talk about Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But that's in a very sophisticated fashion. And that's necessary. But there's also a poshut pshat in the pasuk that's also necessary. And Rashi says the poshut pshat in the pasuk. I saw Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky says it. To him, it's poshut, you have to have that kavanah, and he wonders why Sifrei HaPoskim don't talk about it. But in reality is that in the Aruch HaShulchan does say, bring Saitis, what Rashi says. What's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? So Rashi says, presently it's Hashem Elokeinu. Presently. Ultimately, it will be Hashem Echad. Well, Machzor for Rosh Hashanah. I just want to read something from the Machzor. One or two things. Something very odd, and this Rashi also clarifies this. In the Chazoras HaShatz on Rosh Hashanah, it goes like this. We do the Kedushas HaYoyim part, then we start Aleinu, right? Then we do the, we fall to the ground, and we go all the way up to Valoras V'Tochas Einoid. Then we stop. Then we have two tefillas. Hayeyim pifio shluchi amcha beis Yisrael. And then we have ochil alokeil. So these are considered a reshus. That we're, the chazan is asking, in effect, you know, a special permission of the Rabbeinu Shalom before he begins malchus. So the shaila is, so what comes after Ochila? So after Ochila comes Alki in the Kavalecha. So the Chayra, so why? This is before we do Malchi as a Chayra, so there's a special Bakosha of the Chazan, the Mishidam, the Matzliach, and the Tfilah. So if I were writing the Machzor, I would have put Heyeim Pifios and Achila before Aleinu. All of a sudden, the middle of Aleinu? After Aleinu, we recite? Oh, wait a second, it's Malchias, so let's stop. The Chaz is not going to do Heyeim Pifios and Achila. So what's the Pshat? So the Pshat is Malchias, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu is not Malchias. It's a step on the way to Malchias, but it's not Malchias. The Malchias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Malchias until such time as it's complete, that the whole world embraces the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Till then it's Chosar. The Hashem Echad, what's the message? Now we recognize Him, but ultimately Hashem Echad. Hashem will be the ultimate Melech of the whole world. Then that's when His Malchias will be manifest, when He's for the whole world. Calls man that there are others that are claimed to be deities in this world, then it's a chisor in the Malchias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Malchias for HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that he's the Melech HaKol Ha'aretz. Till then it's not Malchias. So Mameila Aleinu, which deals with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, that's the Hachona. Once that's true, ultimately what's going to happen is Hashem Echad. But Malchias does not begin until Hashem Echad. And that's why until we get what's in our kin the Kabbalah, the Sakin Olam Malchus Shakai, the Chol Bnei Vosser Yikru Vishmecho. Haftas Lecho Karusha Yor, Yakini Vyedu Koya Ishmei Sevo, Kilucho Tichra Komerach Tishova Kol Hashem. Kabbal Chulam is Olam Malchus Echad. And that's ki amalachos shalachohi. That's malchus. So Mameila, Malchias doesn't begin with Aleinu. Aleinu is the pre-step to Malchias, where we're holding today. Malchias for the Rabbeinu Shalom means that he is recognizing the Melech Halakom. So this kavona we also have to have. This is part of Malchias. Hashem Echad means then he'll truly be the Melech that the whole world recognizes. So, we have to have, as I said, each word, each Shem Hashem has its own implication. And then there's the just simple meaning in a pasuk of what it means. The Kabbalah's Omach Shammai. The tefillin is also a Kabbalah Samach Hashemai. What's in the tefillin? First and foremost, the Shema. All right, Shema and Vayom Shemai, Kaddish and Vayom Kiviyachem. But first and foremost, the Shema. Because the tefillin is also Kabbalah, is Kabbalah Samach Hashemai. What do I mean the tefillin is Kabbalah Samach Hashemai? We place the tefillin on the arm. It faces towards the heart, and we put it on the head. Everything that the human being does in this world is one of three things. It's either an action, a thought, or a feeling that defines everything in the human realm. There is nothing in the human realm that is not defined by those three things. Man acts with his hands. The principal tool that we use in this world to do things are our hands. That's overwhelmingly how we do things, with our hands. So the hand represents human action. The brain is thought. That's the head. And in Yahadus, the symbol of regesh is lev. And different cultures use different expressions. But in our culture, in the culture of Torah, we use lev to represent regish feeling. So what do I say when I put on the tefillin in the morning? I say all my actions, all my thoughts, and all my feelings, Ashma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They're all subjugated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the putting on of tefillin is Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. And perhaps that's really a significant reason that we wear the tefillin when we recite the Kriya Shema, because the tefillin themselves are a chelek of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And then there's a further symbolism. Generally speaking, when we come to do a mitzvah, a person has to do it with his right hand. You pick up the case of Kiddush with your right hand. You hold the lulav in your right hand. You do a kohen does the avoid in the base of Migdash, has to do it with his right. If he does it with his left hand, it's possible. To avoid this possible. So why suddenly do we wear tefillin on the left hand? We should have tefillin on the right hand. So, a long thought, I believe the Kli Yoker, I think, spells this out too, if I recall correctly. The pshat is simple. The human ability to act is strong or weak. So, I claim, and it's not my claim, because every one of us said it in davening today, that the human ability to act is weak. What do I mean by that? We said in davening today, I can plan whatever I want. Will I succeed? Will I be able to do it? If it's Atzas Hashem, if the Rishon wants it to happen, it will happen. Yerovam Medivot went up in the Mizbeach and in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, what happened to him? Puts out his hand and his hand freezes. That's it, he can't move it. Till Hashem had compassion on him and let him pull his hand back. But all of a he stuck out his hand and his hand froze. That's it, he couldn't move. Our ability to act is severely limited. We can only do that which the revolution lets us do. I cannot do something on my own. So that's why, it's true, there's a drosha, what do we put on the weekend? Because it says Yod Echon, unusual spelling, Yud Dalet Chof Hei, which is an allusion to Yad Kei or a weaker hand, but that just begs the question. So why? Why is it the case? The pshat is, it's to represent the fact that our ability to act is weak. We're totally dependent on what? Nishma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So I represent my action with my left hand, my weaker hand, because that's where I'm holding. That's as much ability as I have to act, is what's represented by my weaker hand. So the tefillin is also Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. Tefillin is Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. Now it's very interesting how far we go with the Mogen Avraham Paskins and the Chofetz Chaim Paskins, like the Mogen Avraham. You come to shul in the morning and you realize that you left your tefillin home. So now you have a choice. In Kew Garden Hills, Mackenzie Chayitza gave them, but if you're not in Kew Garden Hills, so now's the minion. You go home to get your tefillin, so you'll have tefillin, but you won't have dominion. So, which takes precedence? So, the Mogen Avraham Paskins, that a person should rather daven b'yechidus with his tefillin than daven b'tzibur without his tefillin. So this aspect of tefillin is the Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim, that I shouldn't recite Shema and Shemon Esrei without tefillin, is so significant that the Mogen Avraham says it's doicha tefillah b'tzibur. Go home with the daven b'yechidus. Go home and get the tefillin and daven. You missed the minyan? So you missed the minyan. It's just somewhat of a picture of how significant the tefillin is in Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. Now that we understand the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so we'll understand two more things now. In the Malchias on Rosh Hashanah begins with Aleinu and Alkei Nekava. What does it end with? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the reality then is that Malchus begins with Shema Yisrael and ends with Shema Yisrael. Aleinu was the long form of Shema Yisrael. The first half, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, V'anachnu Karim Mishtachim V'Moidim, and the second part, as Hashem Echad, Al Kedekav Liros Mehiro L'Sakein Olam Malchus Shakai. Chomanei V'Osar Yikru B'Shemecho. So Aleinu was Shema. Just we know where the tax forms. There's the long form, the short form. So in Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim, there's also the long form and the short form. Aleinu is the long form, and Shema Yisrael is the short form. So we begin with the long form. I guess we spell it all out. Once you spell it out, you can summarize it in the short form. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So we also have the long form and the short form. The IRS didn't invent it with the 1040. That is also another thing which comes into focus, a very interesting thing. Al Pi Din, at the end of Hovolat Zion, one can remove one's tefillin. In fact, the minig in many places is the recite Yirotzon Shenishmar Chokecha Ba'ilam Hazeh. That's when they start taking the tefillin off. Why do they take the tefillin off there? Because in the Yerushalmi they had a bracha that Lishmar Chokecha, that they used to. They made a bracha not only when they put on the tefillin, but they made a bracha when they took off the tefillin, Lishmar Chokecha. Come back to that. Why? They made a bracha at that point. So Mameila is a zecher for that. Many people take the tefillin off, Al Pi Din, begin to take the tefillin off when they get to Lishmar Chokecha Ba'ilam Hazeh. The Arizal's practice was that he took off tefillin by Aleinu, but when? In the latter half of Aleinu. After he got to that part, then once he got to that section, then he would take his tefillin off. Why? It's interesting. It's in Simen, in the Samachaya Samachtes. I don't recall at this particular moment. Should be that if a person comes to shul and they're reciting Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it's Samachaya, no? Samachaya. If you come to shul and they're reciting Shema, you have to say it with them. It's Samachaya?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. It's in Simen Samachaya. So you come to shul, you walk in, and they're saying Shema Yisrael. So you have to say Shema Yisrael together with them. On that halacha, the Machtes HaShekel cites a minig that if a person comes to shul, he recites Aleinu with the tzibur. Why? Because according to this, that's exactly the reason. It's not a different reason. Aleinu is Shema Yisrael. The tzibur is reciting Shema Yisrael now. That's why the Arizal took off his tefillin when he got to the latter part. Because that's Shema Yisrael, that's their Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, and he's Hashem Echad too. So till you get Hashem Echad, you didn't finish Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, so he didn't take his tefillin off. Once he said that, then he said that was Hashem Echad, he took them off. So Mamele kept on his tefillin until that point in time. Now in the halacha, we can also extrapolate something else. When it says you have to say Aleinu with the tzibur, how far do you have to say? So I once saw someone write, I don't remember who it was, that it's enough to say till Barach to Kairam. He said Barach to Kairam is fine. Lidaiti, I would say otherwise. You have to say into the latter half. You can't just say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. It's not enough. You need to say Hashem Echad also. So the same way, if they're saying Shema, you have to say Hashem Echad, you have to recite at least part of the Al Kenekav Olecha, of the Rabbanu Shalom being Melech on the entire world. So, Aleinu now was a different significance. It's a different significance. Aleinu Shema Yisrael. The tefillin are emphasizing Shema Yisrael. And Shema Yisrael emphasizes Shema Yisrael. Now, we have to add one more thing to this. Let me stop before I go on to this. L'chayra, what's the pshat? V'shamartos achuka azos l'moadom yomim yomim. So that's the one pshat that's referring to tefillin. But what do we say at the end of the davening? Shanishmor chukecho. Ruch ato Hashem, shanishmor chukecho. So I think the pshat is that you come to davening and we put on the tefillin in the morning. But the tefillin is not just for the moment that we should put on tefillin and put them away. It's not the pshat. The Chazon Ish wrote a phenomenal thing. An awesome thing that the Chazon Ish wrote. It's pastish almost for a Litvak to write such a thing. But that's only the way we look at a very superficial version of what Litvak is on. A teenage boy came to him, 14, 15 years old, and he had really whacked up philosophical questions, really wacky, strange. So the Chazon Ish said to him the following, that someone that grew up in your family, in your town, in the yeshiva that you went to, should not have such type of questions in his head. If you have such questions in your head, it's a siman that you're filling a puzzle. That's what the Chazon Ish said. To put it into our terms, we have a cordless phone. We have a cell phone. So what do we do with it? At night, we plug it into the recharger. So tomorrow, when we take it off the hook, it's going to have a charge. It'll function. So what the Chazon Ish says is the tefillin is a recharger. And we're the ones that get recharged. There's a little buzz of Kedusha to start the day. So I think that's the pshat, that they made a brocha, shenishmor chukecho, that what was the vort? I finished davening now. So I hope now that the tefillin that I wore will give me the inspiration, the Kedusha was mekadesh me, shenishmor chukecho, that I will observe that which the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants of me. I'm going to step out of the Beis HaKnesses. Now I'm going to go out to the field, I'm going to go to the office, go to the world of business. How am I going to act there? Is it going to be consistent with what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said? So that's the tefillin. The brocha shenish baruch hukecha. The tefillin give us a special koyach to fulfill the rosh Hashem. So they made a brocha when they took them off. To emphasize that the wearing of the tefillin was step one. To have the influence of the tefillin and that that should carry with me throughout the day, that's step two. So when they took off the tefillin, they made a brocha shenish baruch hukecha. So this is a little bit of perspective on what Shema Yisrael is and its role. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right, there's a Kiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We'll end with this. That's also Malchus. It's a recognition. There are two types of ways that it recognizes the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. One is that it underscores that this is the right address. If the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was able to take us out of Mitzrayim and do what he did, then he's the one I should be mispalot to. There's nothing stands in his way. So Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in that regard is reinforcing the emunah we have in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as the ultimate source. And there's another aspect, is that if he's the one that redeemed me, so he's my melech. So that's also a recognition of Malchus, that I owe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam something. So the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we have is also a recognition of Malchus. So this is a little bit an overview of what Kriya Shema is about, the mitzvah that we do two times a day. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.